Well, good morning, church. I guess it probably looks a little different up here today. Maybe a little brighter. Lights have turned on a little more. And yes, there were some good deeds done. People were putting up lights yesterday, climbing up on ladders too tall for me, and putting in new bulbs. So it is brighter up here. But it also could be that this is the first Sunday that I'm officially the pastor. Yeah. So it's a little brighter. It's a little brighter. Amen. And it's an honor and a privilege always to speak in that capacity, but it's just special today, being the first time. So if you will turn with me to the book of Matthew, the fifth chapter. And we're actually going to continue from last week's reading, where we talked about the salt, and this week we're going to talk about the light. So Matthew 5, and I'm going to actually start at verse 14. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. And it reads as thus: "Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under the bushel, but on the stand, and it shineth unto all that are in the house. Even so, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Even so, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Father God, we just come humbly now, asking you to open us up. Let us put aside our thoughts of yesterday, our worries of tomorrow, and just give you this space. Give you the arena to speak to us. Let this message resound in our spirit. Let it fill our minds and our thinking of what it is that you want to teach us in this moment. Father, we just invite you in to draw us closer to you. Lord, I ask that you consecrate me now by the power of your grace so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and let my will be lost in thine. It's in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I always hate when pastors do that, but I'm going to do it today. Turn to your neighbor and say, what you see is what you get. What you see is what you get. Right? Now turn to your neighbor and say, and you ain't seen nothing yet. That's right. That's what I always used to like. There was an old song, you may have heard it. What you see is what you get, right? And the guy, he's basically telling his girl, look, girl, you better accept me as I am. Because this is as good as it's going to get. If you can't love me for Lee, you better leave me alone. And that's kind of how we are, right? We want people to just accept us. Accept me as I am. Flaws and all. I'm not perfect, but this is who I am. And we can't always be that way, though, right? Oh, if we were to just step out and let people see the rough side of our mountain, we probably wouldn't have too many friends up front, right? Because that's a little hard for people to take at first. But eventually, we want people to love us just as we are. Nobody's perfect. Living this life is going to challenge you. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to do good things. You're going to do bad things. It comes with the package. And everybody's got them. But it's funny how when we turn that and we can look at other people and we make those judgments, we're not always as nice as we want people to judge us. We want to be accepted. We want you to take me as I am. But do we do that when we're looking at others? When we meet somebody, we have our own prejudices. We make our judgments. We're critical. Maybe they do some things that kind of turn us off a little bit, right? Oh, you go to Wendy's. And you get the value meal? No, we can't be friends. Oh, you like what team? Oh, no, that's not going to work out. We have our judgments, however superficial. But when we're looking at other people, do we see the light in them? Do we see what God has put in them? It's hard to see that up front, but that's exactly what God is saying in the scripture today. He's saying, look, you have my light. You are the light. And I don't want you to hide that light. I want you to let that light shine for the world to see. But that doesn't seem quite right, does it? Well, I can't just stand up and let everybody know my business. No one's going to listen to that. But what he's saying is in me, when you're following me and what I have put in you, and you put the things of me first in your life, then wherever you go, what people will see, they'll see my light shining. They'll see you, they'll hear you, but the you that they see will be of me. It'll be my light. And so today I want to look at three ways of how we can really let our light shine. So when we ask people to accept us, when we say, look, just take me as I am. What you see is what you get. Then what they're getting is the best us. They're getting that light that Jesus has placed inside of each and every one of us. So the three things I want to look at is how we should reflect, how we reveal, and finally, how we rise. Three characteristics of light: reveals, reflects, and it rises. So first, when we looked at how we reflect, we can see in the scripture, Jesus is talking, it's his Sermon on the Mount. Crowd is gathered around him, and this is a crowd of really the wretched of the world, of those who are disenfranchised, those who society looks at and looks down upon. They're not really those who are educated or revered. It's quite the opposite. And before in the scripture, he's telling them that even though in your situation, regardless of how the world looks at you, regardless of how the world judges you, I'm telling you, you're blessed. He's saying, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the downtrodden. Blessed are those who grieve and suffer. You're blessed in my world, in my kingdom. You're the ones I want. Why? Because you understand about this world. To put it all aside, it doesn't matter how great the world says you are. If you can walk humbly in your walk, then great is the blessing you're going to have. Great is your perspective in life. Because your ego is not overblown. You're not thinking too high of yourself, not thinking too low. You're right there where you see exactly who you are in me. You're blessed. You should enjoy this life, regardless of what comes at you, how the challenges, what people say. I'm telling you, you're blessed. Last week, we called us the salt of the earth. We give the flavor to this place. The world would be dull. It would be dry. It'd be dying in sin, rotting away, spoiled. But here we are, the salt. Giving it its flavor, showing it how to preserve itself. That this world, humanity, is not dead, it's not dying away, it's not gloom and doom, because we're here. We're the salt and we're the light. We're the ones that bring the light, bring the truth. We're the reflection of God. Oh, what do you mean, Pastor? See, in the Bible, they call this Imago Dei, that we're the reflection of God. When God made Adam, he says he took him from the dust, the earth, and he formed him, and he breathed life into him. And he says, we will make him in our image. Our image. This image of God. This reflection of God. What is that about? Well, scholars have pondered this over the ages. Many say it's our reasoning, our capacity to think, our logic that separates us from everything else. And other scholars say it's our eternal capabilities, our soul, our consciousness that lives on, that we had a beginning beyond this physical form, and we have an ongoing story beyond this physical form. And that is our belief, right? We believe in an eternal life, that this human existence is temporary. It's just one little piece. That there's an eternity of our existence, that we go on. And this is why we believe in Christ, because Christ says, if you believe in me, you'll have eternal life. And this is that reflection. What God gave us that reflects him is his eternity. That's what he meant for Adam. Adam was supposed to live forever. Then what happened? He sinned, and his sin brought death to his body. It brought death to his life. And so man died, and Jesus came. Why? To reconcile us back to God so that we won't have to die. That eternity is fulfilled again. That reflection is made again. So when God looks down and he once saw his reflection in Adam, but when Adam sinned and ate of the apple and lied in his shame and said, God, I don't know what happened. I'm covering myself. Adam, who told you you were naked? All of a sudden he realized and he was shamed and he lied on Eve, played the blame game. She did it. I didn't know. All of it wrapped up in two sentences. Man, there we are. We all go through it, right? And so he says, I can't see you anymore, Adam. I have to ban you from me, out of the garden. His reflection was lost. But then Christ came, and the reflection was restored. Because now when God looks down, he doesn't see death. He sees Jesus. Jesus stands as the advocate. We are the body of Christ. We are within Christ, and Christ is within us. So we hold the reflection of Jesus. I've done the Emmaus walk. If any of you get a chance to do it, I strongly encourage you to. But on that walk, you go off for a weekend, and it's kind of a retreat. No cell phones, no communication with family or friends, no TV. Look, it sounds like a vacation. You're like, what is this? Sign me up. But you do. You're just totally away from all your trappings. Silence. And it's just you and God. And it's reflection. And you begin to see God in you, how he's working in you. Because we're not distracted by all of this. It just becomes a very personal thing. And towards the end of that weekend, you realize that these other people you're with, that God is in them too. And that reflection that you see is in that other person. There's a Christ in them, just as there's a Christ in me. So when I make my judgments, when I let my critical person come out and welcome someone into my life or greet someone, let that first judge be Jesus. Let you see who that person is in Christ. And then guess what happens? They see the Christ in you. Because that's what you're projecting. You're projecting that love. You're projecting that acceptance. You're projecting that forgiveness. You're projecting compassion. You're projecting that we're all falling short, but I accept you. What's your issues? Because I've got some too. What's your concern? Because I've got some too. What are your strengths? Because I've got some too. And let's come together. Let's find our common places. Sure, we're going to have differences. But you know what? Those differences are superficial. Because there are going to be things that come and go. There are going to be opinions that weigh with the wind. But let's find that eternal. Let's find that thing that's going to exist forever beyond this place. And let's be common in that area. The Imago Dei. In Indian culture, when they greet each other and say goodbye, they say this word, namaste. You may have heard it before, and it's basically saying, I see the God in you. I see the Spirit in you. The same in Africa, in Swahili, Southern Africa, when they greet each other, when they say hello and goodbye, they say, sawubona, sawubona. And what it means literally is, I see you. I see you. I'm not seeing the superficial you. I'm not seeing the clothes you're wearing, the makeup you've put on, the character you have on the outside. I see you. Because that's what happens. And when we first have that reflection and when we allow Christ to reflect in us, it reveals who we truly are. It reveals the truth of a situation. And isn't that what we want? Wouldn't we love to just know the truth sometimes? We're always thinking, trying to figure it out, but Christ says, I will reveal to you the truth. Plain and simply put, when we allow the Spirit to come into our hearts and we begin this following of Christ and see ourselves as the reflection of Christ, then the Spirit reveals to us our truth. John 15, 26 says, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father will bear witness about me. See, the Spirit reveals to us what to say, how to think, how to look at this world from a godly perspective. Every generation has a way of looking, right? I'm Generation X, the baby boomers, Generation Y. Now we have millennials, and they already have the next one. What is it? The millennialslito. I don't even know what they're called, but they've already got a new name. Every generation has this way of being. They get categorized. Oh, this is how you are. This is how they are. All of that stuff, and it's ever-changing. It evolves. We hope it's evolving, but it's definitely changing because of technology, because of the surrounding environments and the influences that the world puts on us. But Christ says, regardless of the generation, my truth is everlasting. My truth goes beyond what this world says. It will come into your heart and it will show you how even though things change, what I'm putting inside of you will work for every generation. It doesn't matter if you're playing Xbox or PlayStation or Bridge or Sorry or Monopoly, whatever your distraction may be, I'm telling you that my way, my truth, transcends all of what man is doing. He reveals to us what it is and who it is we're supposed to be. We all have our own characters. There's nothing wrong with it. Comedian Chris Rock said in one of his stand-ups a few years ago, first time you go out on a date with somebody, you're not meeting them. You're meeting their representative, their ambassador of who they really are, right? You remember you go out on a first date and you want to say all the right things, right? You want to tell all your best jokes, right? You're going to wear your best clothes or your coolest clothes, so you think, because you're trying to make a good impression. There's nothing wrong with that. But is that the truth of who you are? You're not going to go and tell them all the bad things that have happened to you on that first date. Why not? Because we're scared it's going to scare them away. They're never going to want to talk to me again. So we try to ease them into our truth. But Christ says it's okay, because I reveal your truth in me, regardless of what it is. When it's in me, it transcends what you think is wrong. See, it's that shame that Adam felt that causes us to hide who we are. It's the lie that Adam told. That's why we don't say exactly what we've done. It separates us. And in a perfect world, there wouldn't be any judgment. We would all accept each other as we are. We would all be secure in who we are, so that we didn't feel the need to prove so much. But it's not a perfect world. But that's where God differs from the world. See, if I was to shine a light in the world right now, I had a light out, the light would show me where things are, it would enlighten where the dark places are, I could see a little more clearly. And if I turned that light in my face, it would be blinding. And that's kind of how we are in the Spirit. See, we allow the Spirit to reveal things to us so we can see things a little more clearly, see a little better. But when we turn that light on ourselves, oh, it can be blinding sometimes. We don't want to see the truth of ourselves. It's hard to really see who we are sometimes. We don't want to be that person. We pass judgment on ourselves and say, oh, I'm just no good. When can I get past being that person? One day, I'm going to be this guy. One day, I'm going to be this person. I know it's coming. I'm not there yet. But one day, I'm going to be there. I'm going to work it out. But Christ says, bring all that to me. Shine the light on it. Come as you are. I accept all of it. Doesn't matter what it looks like to Christ. He already knows. It's going to be revealed anyway. 1 Corinthians 2 says, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. So we pass judgment on ourselves, on others. But God is saying, don't worry about that. If you turn it over to me, if you allow the Spirit to have it, then I'll free you from your judgment. That's why it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Because there's no judgment. We don't have to beat ourselves up every day. God says, just give it over to me. Let the Spirit have it. And I'll show you in living in your situation how I'm going to evolve that situation. I'll bring you out of it. And it won't be the way you think. It won't be what you think needs to go away. Maybe I'm going to accentuate those things that you've been trying to get rid of, because I'm going to use them for my glory now, not just what you want to use them for. Oh, it's interesting how God reveals things in our lives. And we have to see them not just from our own perspective, but be aware so when they come about, we understand what's happening. I'm reminded when I went on a trip to Ireland, we were doing a documentary on the sun. It was for NASA and Discovery Channel, and they wanted to see how the history of the sun as studied through ancient times. So we went to Anchorage, Alaska, where the Eskimos were, and we went down to Panama with the Aztecs and how they worshiped the sun. And we went over to Ireland with the Druids. And the Druids were much like B.C., 400 B.C., and it was almost like caveman-ish, right? And these guys, all they did was they would go over these rolling hills, and they would drill a hole into the hill. They didn't drill. They would dig out a hole in a hill. But they would dig the hole out, just a straight little tunnel, straight into the hill. And you go back about 6 feet, and then they would dig out the sides of it. So you would have this small little cave, little tunnel, and then a right turn and a left turn. And right in the middle, they would dig that out a little further. And what it was telling them when the seasons were, when it was about to be spring, summer, fall, and winter, for their planting, their harvesting. And they dug the hole facing basically the east, when the sun was coming up. So that when the sun was coming, based on where it came up, they knew the season, because of where it shot through the hole in the tunnel and where it hit that back wall. So when it hit right in the middle would be what we would call the spring equinox, right around Easter time. So I'm on this trip, and my producer was a Muslim guy, great guy, and we would have these good conversations at night, you know, about our beliefs and society, and, you know, we would give each other different jabs. And so we were up there, and one of the mounds, the top was off of it. So you could just see an aerial view of this tunnel. And it was a long tunnel, two sides, and then the middle was dug out a little more. And we're sitting there looking at it, and our guide is, you know, telling us the history of it and when it was made, da-da-da-da-da. And I looked at my friend, and I said, man, you know, I hate to say it, but it looks like a cross. And he didn't say anything. He just kept looking. And the guy keeps talking, and he says, yeah, and the Easter hit right there in the spring equinox, and that would be Easter. And I was like, wow, look at that. So when we celebrate Christ rising, was the longest day of the year. He's like, oh. I turned to my friend, and he's just looking down. He doesn't want to make eye contact. I understand. But I couldn't help but take the opportunity and say, it's amazing how even though the cross is a symbol that we use for where Jesus was hung, that it transcends all time. That here it was as a symbol of ancient man who used it in a very practical way for his survival. And that's what we're using it for today in a practical sense. We follow the cross for our survival. We look to the cross as our gauge of what the sun is doing. It's amazing how God works, what he reveals to us if we're paying attention. Because we have to understand that as we reflect the light of him and the light is revealed in us, that it causes us to rise. And easily, I could say it, we rise above our situation. We've all gone through things. We've all had our ups and downs. Life has challenged us in various ways. And we've had to overcome it. We've had to rise above certain things. But it goes even deeper than that. Because as light rises, as the sun is guaranteed to rise, every morning we know we're going to be awakened by that sun. Whether it's a cloudy day or not, we know the sun is coming up. As the earth revolves on its axis, it's going to turn and greet that sun. And we have to know, we should be rest assured in knowing that as we live and breathe, that the sun is there for us. The sun has risen. It's already done. I don't want to preach my Easter sermon too soon, but you have to know that he sits high and looks low. That Easter Sunday was not by chance that he rose from the dead. He didn't have to stay in the grave. He rose up so that we could know that he had conquered death and that we can conquer anything in our life. Psalms 30 says, you, Lord, have brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down into the pit. I'll sing the praises of the Lord. His faithful people will praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may endure for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Oh, that should make you just happy inside. Just make you want to say, thank you, Jesus, for rising from the dead, and therefore my light rises in me. That your reflection of me reflects and reveals to others your light in my life. I don't walk this life alone. You are with me in everything that I do. Jesus has given us this life. Romans 1:20 says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Just as the sun rises every day, we should say, there is a God. Just as this earth turns on its axis and we don't have to do anything about it, we should say, there is a God. The waves come in and out. This earth stands firm. Third rock from the sun, perfectly designed for us to live and have life. There is a God. And we should say thank you. Thank you for your light. And know that that piece of that light shines in you. Literally, we are the makeup of the sun, of a star that bursts. It's in us, cosmic creations, divine in our walk, chosen to follow a creator. Oh, that should just make you want to go out and show somebody, tell somebody, wait a minute, you don't understand. It's not as bad as you think it is. I know you're upset. It's not bad. God is still sitting high. We're still breathing good air. Trees are still pushing out oxygen. The sun is still giving me good vitamin D, as my wife likes to say. That's her excuse for going to the beach. We should just be so glad, filled with that light. I'll leave you with this one story, and then we're going to go. 1940, a gentleman named Russell Shoemaker was working on semiconductors in the Bell Laboratories, along with some of his other colleagues. And the idea was they would take silicone crystals and try to hold energy in them through light sources. They would have these different light sources and try to hold the energy in these silicone crystals. But they were having a hard time keeping them in the crystal. It wouldn't stay, it wouldn't hold, it would fade after a while. And then one day he came across a crystal and he broke it on accident. It had fractures in it, it was all fractured up. And they would call that it had impurities in the crystal. But he decided to use it anyway, to still try and run his test. And in running the test, what he found is he was able to hold light and the energy much longer in this crystal. As he studied it more and trying to figure out why this was happening, what he saw is that it was in the cracks, in the impurities of that crystal, the light found its way in and was able to stay. It held it within the barriers of the cracks. To whereas with the pure ones were too smooth, there was nothing for it to hold on to, nothing to hold it in. But in the cracks, in the impurities, the light found its place. Oh, isn't that us? That technology is what we know today as solar energy. And isn't that how Christ has done us? Where he has taken his light and poured it into our imperfect places, our cracks, our crevices. And he uses it to power us, renewable energy, every day. Again and again, he already paid the cost for it. Amen? To give us this energy that we have. So we should shine it. Stand up on that hill. Don't hide it away. Don't be ashamed. Don't let people, what you think they're going to say, their outward judgment, hold you back from being what Christ has called you to be. God is doing something in your life. Allow that light to shine today. Amen? As Carolyn comes to play, I'll just invite anyone, if you have any doubt in your life, that light is going dim, that light is maybe not renewable, maybe that light's going to go out when you die, I invite you to accept Jesus as your Savior. And know that that light will continue to shine in you. And He'll do things in your life you never imagined. Grow you. Draw you closer to Him. Allow you to be a blessing in the lives of others. Maybe you're looking for a church home. We invite you to join this station of Zion, to plant your roots and allow His fruit to prosper in your life. Is there one?